Verses 10 through 13, again, Paul outlines the points of encouragement and warning needed in the believer's warfare. And he is talking about being prepared for the battle, finding our strength in the Lord, not in ourselves. He talks about the provision, the armor of God with which we have been clothed the moment we are saved. All of the armor is available to us. It is not our armor, but God's armor. It is not physical armor, it is spiritual armor, and it is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We put that armor on daily by appropriating its truths and knowing that God is with us. We have the salvation of the Lord. We have faith to believe in and trust in Him and so forth. And then last week we talked about the enemy. The archenemy, the primary enemy, is Satan. And when Satan rebelled against God and fell from heaven, two-thirds of the angels fell with him. Those angels, fallen angels, became demons. Demons. The last time I preached on this passage of Scripture, someone had a real issue with me. They told me at the door as they were leaving afterwards, they said, "We won't be back. We don't believe in demons. Demons don't exist." Fortunately, I was able to go to their home later that week and open the Bible and show them the Bible teaches about demons. And so we saved a friendship. Praise the Lord. But the battle that we have today is against a spiritual unseen world. The fallen angels are in warfare against Satan. And as we said last week, he uses us. Satan gets to God through his children. And he attacks us, and we need to be prepared. But we can take confidence and hope in the fact that the battle is the Lord's. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So, as we studied our enemy, the devil, Satan, the old dragon, the serpent, the murderer, the liar and father of lies, the deceiver, and the accuser of the brethren last week, today we want to talk about his counterpart, his warriors, so to speak, his soldiers, the demon world. Our fight, in verse 12, is not against flesh and blood. We are told there we wrestle. The word is struggle. We struggle or wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One of Satan's common strategies in the world today is to get you and I, to get believers to think that there really is no serious conflict going on. You know, I can go day to day and not sense that I am under attack, and not sense that there's a spiritual warfare going on. After all, we've talked about the cosmic world, the atmosphere above us, and that's where the demons engage the angels of God and they fight the spiritual battles. But Satan also attacks us, and he uses his demons to do so. And so we need not to be naive and think that there is no spiritual conflict, but we need to believe that we are in a serious conflict that's going on today between good and evil in the invisible and the supernatural realm. To be naive and to think that there is no spiritual battle going on leads to spiritual lethargy, indifference, and spiritual stagnation. It makes a person actually more vulnerable to Satan's attack and more susceptible to spiritual defeat when we think that it's not a real battle, or that it doesn't involve you and I, or that it's not difficult. We need to see and understand exactly what the Bible has to say about this struggle between the demonic realm and the angelic realm of God. The war between Satan and God, it has not diminished since the world began. In fact, it's actually intensifying as we get closer to the end of God's program, primarily the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to set up his kingdom, which from which he will rule the world with a rod of iron for 1,000 years, and Satan will be where? Cast into the bottomless pit with his angels, with the demons. And then he will be released at the end of those 1,000 years and ultimately stand before God again at the great white throne judgment and be sentenced and executed to spend eternity, not executed, but sentenced and the sentence carried out to spend eternity in the lake of fire. So the war between Satan is intensifying, and we mentioned this last week because Satan realizes he is running out of time. His time where he is trying his best to defeat God. He tried to defeat God's program at the cross, trying to keep Jesus Christ from fulfilling the plan and purpose of God in redemption, of dying on the cross so that his precious and sinless blood could be an atonement, a covering for our sin, and he would have the power through resurrection to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from unrighteousness so that we might spend eternity with him. And Satan was unsuccessful in defeating him there, and so he is still trying. As I mentioned earlier, in verse 12, we wrestle, Paul says. We wrestle. The war is real. The fight is real. We are wrestling. We are struggling. The word is palae. It's a military term that Paul often refers to military terms because they lived in a Roman world where Roman soldiers were present and visible everywhere. Palae, hand-to-hand combat, a physical struggle. The English word wrestle is actually one of the best translations of the word because it provides that picture of a physical one-on-one struggle with an opponent, and our opponent is the demon world. Satan's warriors, the fallen angels, even though they know that they are sentenced to eventually spend eternity in the lake of fire, still they desperately try to break the power of God and destroy the things of God. So that's our fight. We're wrestling. We're struggling. It's hand-to-hand combat with the demon world. Our foe, well, our enemy, our foe, our struggle is not just against Satan himself, as we talked about last week. He's just the leader of the group. He is the one in charge. It is ultimately he being the enemy of God and using all of the fallen angels to engage in this fight against God. So it's not just against Satan himself, but against a whole host, countless demon subordinates. And the struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not up against a human enemy. And our struggle is not against an enemy we can see. For the most part, we cannot see the fallen angels. We cannot see them in the natural sense. The foe is principalities again, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickednesses in high places. We're going to look at those categories or levels of demonic activity and define each one of them in just a moment. But we do see the effects of the spiritual warfare often. We may not recognize it as spiritual warfare, but things like when there's bitterness and strife between individuals or within a church, that is the result of satanic warfare. That is the result of a spiritual battle that's going on among us. When we see broken relationships, whether it's between husbands and wives or between parents and children or leaders within a church or between members of a congregation, if there's broken relationships, that's usually the result of spiritual attack, spiritual warfare. When there's division in churches, that's not God's will. It's not God's design to have churches split. That's the result of satanic warfare. When we see accidents happen, now I'm not saying that every time you have an accident, You know, oh, I cut my finger yesterday. That was Satan attacking me. No, I'm not saying that. But a lot of times, serious accidents are the result of satanic warfare where Satan is trying to hinder someone from doing the will of God or trying to diminish someone's joy or whatever the purpose he may have in having a natural accident. I believe that Satan, satanic warfare, the demons, can interfere with the affairs of mankind. People giving into temptation. What about when you're tempted? And Satan, we've talked about this, he knows your weak spots. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows what areas you can be tempted in. That is satanic warfare. That's the demons wrestling with you in an area where you may or may not have gotten the victory by turning it over to the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to control you, guide you, and direct you. And so people fall. God is able to keep us from falling, but people give in to the lust of their flesh, don't they? The lust of the eyes. Christian, you've all heard stories. You know people who have fallen into sin. It's satanic attack. It is spiritual warfare. It is the demon world wrestling with us when people fall into temptation and give into that. People resisting the will of God. What about Jonah? It wasn't just Jonah's flesh saying, oh, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like that place. I don't like the people there. I don't like what I know about that place. So I think I'm going to go. No, that was satanic warfare. That was Satan enticing and prodding Jonah to flee away from Nineveh so that God could not bring the revival that he did. But thank God that God was successful there. So Satan's forces are highly organized and highly experienced. Our foe is spiritual enemy, and Paul identifies them very clearly here in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Principalities, arche, simple Greek word, and it means the ones who are chief in rank. I believe there's different levels of angels, different hierarchies, chain of command, just like there is in the angelic world. You have archangels and you have ministering angels, and it's hard to tell how many other kind that we'll find out when we get to heaven. There's guardian angels. In the demonic world, the fallen angels, we have the same thing. And some of them are principalities. They are head over other rulers. We can think of these as the organization of evil powers, the authority over the rulers of darkness. We think of it in the human realm of government as principalities would be like the magistrates and the mayors and the governors and the president and the vice president and the chiefs of state. So there's hierarchies, principalities. That's the word that describes the organization and the top of the organization, the leadership of the organization. Powers, exposia. We get our English word exponential. Exponential is a number that's been multiplied many times over. It's an increased power. It's increased by the power of 10, we say, or whatever. So powers is an evil spiritual force that is given to the rulers of darkness, and they are extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Exposia. More powerful than we could imagine. And then the rulers of darkness, that's an interesting Greek word, cosmic rator. Cosmic comes from the idea of universe, the atmosphere, the world above us. I've often mentioned the fact that much of the satanic warfare, most of the satanic battle, takes place in an unseen realm right over our heads, just above us. The demons fighting the angels of God continuously, constantly, in the cosmic rator, the rulers of darkness. These are the actual battle warriors, the fallen angels who are now soldiers in Satan's army. the rulers of darkness. And then their realm of activity is the darkness of this world. The word darkness is skotos. Skotos literally means in the shadows. In the shadows. Satan doesn't come out in the open and show what he's doing. He does it in the shadows, in the darkness. The idea is complete obscurity, unseen by the physical human eye. So we are wrestling against principalities, the chief organization, against powers, almighty, not almighty in the sense that they can do anything like God can do, but more powerful than man, many times more powerful than man, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And then he says, against spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness, that's two words in the Greek. Spiritual is phumatikos, and it simply means not fleshly, not human, demonic. So you can take a person to the Bible right there and use that Greek word for spiritual wickedness and say it means demonic. There are demons. And it is demonic wickedness, panerea, which means plural depravity or intensely depraved. There is nothing too wicked for these fallen angelic beings, these demons, to do. They are overflowing with iniquity, overflowing with deviant behavior and sinfulness. And they operate in high places. Epuranios, again, above the sky or celestial, they operate in the atmosphere above us. Peter talks about these authorities and powers in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, as being made subject unto Christ. Just like Satan could not touch Job without God's permission, these demons are limited by Christ's authority over them. Jesus alluded to that in Matthew 28, 18, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power, all authority. So our foe, our fight, and then our fortress. Is there hope for us in this wrestling stage of the Christian life? Where do we flee for refuge? Turn with me to Colossians. Back up a couple of books to Colossians chapter 1. And we find that indeed there is hope for us in this wrestling struggle. And our hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We obviously know that already. But His kingdom is a kingdom of security and refuge for us. We should remember that. We should keep that in mind whenever you feel defeated. And there will be times in your Christian life, if you are living the Christian life for the glory of God and striving to be all that you can be for Christ and resisting sin and resisting the devil and so forth, all of that, you are going to have days that you will feel discouraged, distressed, defeated. You need to remember that we are not of the kingdom of this world. We belong to the kingdom of God. And as such, we have our fortress, our castle, if you will, our place of refuge, our place of safety. Colossians chapter 1, I want to start reading in verse 10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord." This is a prayer. Paul is praying for the Colossian believers. And by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's praying this prayer for you and I as well. He is praying that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated, changed us into what?
the kingdom of his dear Son. Jesus Christ rules over that kingdom. We are members, we are subjects of the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And in Ephesians chapter 1, you will remember we talked about all the spiritual blessings that we have been blessed with in spiritual places, in heavenly places in Christ, including the blessing of adoption and the blessing of redemption. We have been adopted into the family of God. We become his children by grace through faith. And we experience redemption. We have been purchased from the slave market of sin. We have been taken out of the realm of Satan, out of his possession. And we are now possessions of God. We belong to God. Amen? Amen. And so Satan cannot destroy us. He cannot defeat us. And that brings me to another subject that I think we need to address here. The subject of exorcism. That gets a lot of attention in the world. And there's a lot of misunderstanding among Christians about, do we have the right of exorcism? If so, how do we go about doing that? Should we do that? Can a Christian be possessed by Satan? Remember, we've been saying in this study on spiritual warfare, the believer's warfare, over and over again, we've been saying, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we believers are the what? The temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. Good and evil cannot abide together. Satan and God cannot dwell in the same temple. God has kicked Satan out of his temple permanently, and that temple is you and I, dear believers. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, whom ye have of God. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So no, a believer cannot be possessed. Oppressed, yes. Can you wrestle against Satan? If you can't wrestle against Satan and the demons, Paul would not have had to have written Ephesians chapter 6. He tells us how to wrestle. So we can be oppressed. We can be opposed by Satan. He can tempt us. He can put obstacles in our path. Paul said, you know, there are a great many doors, effectual doors opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. There are many spiritual enemies resisting the work that we are trying to do. And all through the ages of the history of the church, since the day of Pentecost, Satan has been resisting the church of Jesus Christ. But what did Jesus say? I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we wrestle, we struggle, but the victory is ours. That's next week's sermon. The victory is ours. Okay, but back to this idea of exorcism. John MacArthur, and there's so much I could say about exorcism, but let me just quote what John MacArthur says. I think this really sums it up. He says, much today is being said about Christian exorcism of demons, although Scripture teaches no such practice. Rituals of exorcism are foreign to the Bible, which does not record a single instance of a demon being cast out of a believer at any time or place by anyone. Now, we do see Jesus casting demons out of unbelievers. And he does it because being the Son of God, he had the authority. He has the authority to do that. But the times he did it during his ministry, he did it not only to deliver that individual from the power of the demons, but he did it also to prove that he was indeed the Son of God. That's why he did all of his miracles, to show that he was God. He who has seen me has seen the Father. This is the power of God Almighty. He can deliver the captives and set the prisoners free. And the few times that we see the apostles casting out demons from unbelievers for the same reason, to demonstrate that their authority was God-given. And we don't need that indication of such authority today because we have the Word of God. And we are simply witnesses of what we have seen and know to be true about God and the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. The Word of God is our instruction manual on how to live the Christian life. But John MacArthur continues saying, nowhere does Scripture give any formula or method for such exorcism. Whenever Satan is confronted by Christians, the means of opposition is the strength of the Lord and the provision he has already made for all believers. Every believer has already experienced, quote, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. The power that raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him in heaven, that same power, dear friend, is our power, bequeathed to us as joint heirs with him. Dealing with demons in one's Christian life is not a matter of finding the right technique or praying the right prayer, but of being committed to the spiritual means of grace that purifies the soul so that there is no unclean place that demons could occupy or by which they might gain an advantage over us. The Bible tells us what to do. James, we said this, we talked about this last week. James says very simply, resist. Resist the devil. And what? He will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, we can pray for people who are under attack. We can pray for people who seem to be wrestling with Satan directly. But ultimately, the victory is in the hands of the Lord. There's an illustration that demonstrates your responsibility and my responsibility very clearly. We just sang that song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross, a Follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? The answer obviously is no, this world is not a friend of grace. Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy, be thou therefore a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be strong. And so the illustration is of a military person who is in the battle, a guard, a soldier on guard duty. He sees the enemy approaching. What does he do? Does he just take off and run toward the enemy and start fighting single-handedly? No. He reports the attack of the enemy to his commanding officer, who then organizes the defense. And when Satan attacks you and I, it's foolish to try to do battle with him alone. But like the soldier on guard duty, we simply report to our commander-in-chief. And he takes over from there. He takes over from there. As the Lord assured King Jehoshaphat, as his army faced the superior forces of Moab and Ammon, he said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Again, our fortress is the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And the very gates of hell shall not overpower Christ's church. Matthew 16:18. So if you feel overwhelmed or discouraged, remember the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there. He'll be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And claim the promise, as I have so many hundreds of times in my life, of Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am thy God. Be not dismayed, for I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will take care of you. We can be assured of that. That's his promise in Scripture. The question today for some of us might be, where's God? Is he there when I need him? He is indeed. If you are a believer, he lives in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is only a prayer away. God's power is available to you 24/7. But none of that is true if you do not have Christ in you. If you do not have the hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in you through the Holy Spirit, you need a Savior. Have you put your trust in Him alone for salvation? There's a lot of people in this world trusting a lot of things. Some people trust their own goodness. You know, I'm a good person. I haven't done anything really terrible. I go to church occasionally. I try to read my Bible. I pray. So, you know, I'm a pretty good person. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift of God by grace. People trust in all kinds of things, but the only thing that will save you is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who died for you on the cross. Why would we think anything or anyone else could save us? It is Jesus who died for us, yea, and was buried, and yea, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Father in heaven, I pray that if there's anyone here today that's not trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and Jesus Christ alone for victory over Satan in their lives, that they would put their trust in you today, that they would call upon the name of Jesus. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I'm a sinner and I need to be freed from that sin. I'm a sinner and separated from God, and I need to be able to come into your family and know that I'm eternally secure with you. Dear Jesus, forgive me. Dear Jesus, save me. Those are simple phrases. Anyone can say those things or similar things to God. But it's the faith. It's the trust. It's the act of putting that trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Prayer is just telling him you've done that. Prayer is simply admitting to God, at this point, I believe. I believe in you. I'm trusting you. Is there someone here today wrestling with that? Is there someone here today? You came, you've listened to the message, and now you're wondering, am I really saved? Am I really a child of God? Satan would like to wrestle with you today. He would like to keep you from believing. He would like to do everything in his power to keep you from trusting in Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to pray with you and for you. If you're here today and you can't say, I know I'm saved. I think I need to be saved. Would you just raise your hand and let us pray for you today? Anyone at all? Father, we do thank you for the power of your word. It's not me today. I'm not the messenger I would like to be or the messenger I probably should be. But Lord, I feel that I've done everything that I can humanly do, and I leave all the rest up to you. I pray, Lord, that you would do what only God can do. If there's a soul here today that's lost and separated from you, I pray, dear God, that you would be merciful and draw them to yourself, that you would save them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.